This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
It is time to get you a Commander's Stock Report as we get ready for Washington's game with Carolina on Sunday at home, a chance to get to 5-2.
Let's throw a little stock report up, Darius. Who leads this team in sacks? Rhetorical question. Grant knows because it's his job to know. But if you're out there in radio land, you're listening, you're going, is it Farrell? Is it maybe John Allen? It's Dante Fowler Jr. Increased role, probably. No John Allen. Maybe Dorrance Armstrong banged up. All of a sudden, number six has shown up a little bit more over the last couple of weeks. I would give him a nice, tidy little stock report up with five tackles for loss. Also among the team leaders, and he leads the team in sacks.
Let's go with another positive. News trending up on Brian Robinson. Did not play against the Ravens. Running game missed him dearly. Only played in the first half against the Browns. Had just 18 yards on seven carries. That was okay because he scored two touchdowns. No one really thought or talked about it. But 2.6 yards per carry, wasn't really himself. Two of his last three games, he's averaged under 3 yards per carry. Because remember, the Bengals game, 16 for 33. Now the Browns game, 7 for 18. Didn't play against the Ravens. So he's basically had one really good game over the last month. So the stock, you could say, is down on the production and on the health. But the 25-year-old is coming back. He is having a good year, 4.5 yards per carry. And I think we saw once and for all how important he is to this offense, to this running game, when he missed against Baltimore and they weren't able to run the football. Also, I posted this on Instagram and on Twitter. You can check it out at Grant H. Paulson. But I weirdly put together this graph. Like, I went to a website and made a pie graph just for the visual of it.
Good for you.
Of the touches for Commanders players offensively so far this season. The touch graph, if you will. And Brian Robinson, that sliver of pie that he gets credit for, is the biggest of everybody else's, obviously, is their RB1. But I think it's just revealing as to how big a piece to this puzzle he really is. He's having a good year. They need him back. They need him healthy. They need him slamming the ball in between the tackles.
Broken record a little bit, but my guy Austin Eckler. I think we really need to understand what's happening here and how valuable he is to this offense. I know they went on the road to Arizona and took out all their power tools and had a demonstration for Arizona. But this is a dude that is seventh in the league. I say again, seventh in the league in yards per target. He's up there with Alec Pierce, who catches a deep pass every week. Ja'Marr Chase, Sam Laporta, Jaden Reed, Nico Collins, Jameson Williams. What have all they have in common? They are receivers and one tight end there in Sam Laporta. Seventh in the league in yards per target is Austin Eckler, catching passes at or behind the line of scrimmage. It is impossible to quantify how effective he has been, and he's the easy button on this offense. We think of easy as DeSean Jackson going deep or Tyreek Hill going deep to bust the defense. The deal is he's making first down chain moving plays that kind of get lost in the sauce, doesn't have a ton of TDs, but everything else among the league leaders in yards per target, yards per touch, yards from scrimmage. He would lead the team in yards from scrimmage, but he missed a game due to injury. He has been fantastic for Washington.
So this is health-related, but Dorrance Armstrong has not been a full participant at practice over the last couple of days. He came off the field injured, didn't finish the game against the Ravens. He was on a bit of a roll, had a half sack against the Bengals, then a sack and a half against the Cardinals in a breakout, then he had a sack against the Browns. So he had three combined sacks over three games going into that Baltimore game when he got hurt. He was coming off of performances where he had 2-3-1-2-1 quarterback hits. He's hit the quarterback every single week prior to the Lamar Jackson-Baltimore matchup. This is a guy they paid good money to start at defensive end one. He's the 27-year-old that came over from Dallas who played with Dan Quinn before. I like what he's actually done. It seems to me like he is a pretty good player. But the stock is down because after a fairly quiet early performance against Baltimore, then he got hurt. I don't know if he's going to play or not. So this isn't really about his performance at all, but there are questions about his health. They already don't have John Allen. They already don't have Javonte Jean-Baptiste. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I always want to call him Jason Pierre-Paul. They don't have Jason Pierre-Paul, to be clear.
They don't have him at all.
He definitely will not be available this weekend.
Well, he's not going to play for Washington?
Questionable.
Okay.
I'm told he's questionable.
Jason Pierre-Paul.
They could still sign him.
Mm-hmm.
But I know who isn't going to play is Javonte Jean-Baptiste. JJB. Let's just do it that way. So they need Dorrance Armstrong, and his health is down, so I'm going to put the arrow down right now on him.
I hate to pile on, but just noteworthy, as a secondary is struggling, as a group that can't really stop the pass and there's no end in sight, last year's first-round pick, Emmanuel Forbes, can't even get activated. Who do you have to beat out here? It's not as if it's Deion Sanders on one side and Daryl Green on the other. This is not a crew of juggernauts, and you can't crack the lineup. He's been inactive here of late. So that is a troubling trend for Emmanuel Forbes.
Four plays last week before not playing this week.
Yeah. Again, it is not going particularly well for a guy. Remember, they were trying to sell as, hey, let's give it a shot. Let's see what happens. Lasted all of a couple of weeks.
We've talked a lot about the offensive line playing pretty well. Andrew Wiley had a couple of impressive pancakes this past week. I think we could just acknowledge that he's played very solid football at right tackle. Hasn't been perfect or clean all the time. You're occasionally going to see tackles in this league get beat and give up a sack. But Andrew Wiley, through six games, has been far from the problem that everybody kind of penciled him in as. My point all offseason was he finished a lot better last year than people think. He gave up 9 sacks, 2 straight years, Chiefs and Washington, and that's all anyone wanted to talk about. But if you separated like the first 2/3 of the year and the stretch run, kind of played like a different guy, I would say. He has picked up where he left off. He's been very, very solid at right tackle. He is a guy that's very popular seemingly in the room, good buddies with all the other linemen, 30-year-old veteran who was at one point in time undrafted out of college at Eastern Michigan. Andrew Wiley, a couple of times Super Bowl champion, arrow trending up.
His running mate on the opposite side, Brandon Coleman. I think we've forgotten about this because of how much fun all this is, right? How well Jaden Daniels is playing, how everything sort of looks right in terms of their program and the front office and stuff. One of the big deals of this offseason is idiots like me screaming, hey, you're drafting a rookie quarterback you're turning the franchise over to. Wouldn't you do everything possible to make sure it doesn't get slammed into the ground? Wouldn't you do everything possible to make sure this offensive line is excellent and you give them every option possible in the passing game just to make things as easy as all heck? And they're going, watch this. Journeyman, backup swing tackle, and third rounder that a lot of people think is a guard. And they're sort of walking around nodding. And I'm going, oh my God, what a terrible plan. Sorry, the plan's great. Brandon Coleman plays half the time like they're the Florida quarterbacks with Tim Tebow and Chris Leak, and it's working somehow. But Brandon Coleman, arrow trending up.
Mikey Sanristil at his second position. They started him in the nickel. That's what he was drafted to play. That's eventually where he's going to settle in, and I think be an excellent player for a long, long time. But out of necessity in a pinch, they kicked him inside, the outside from inside, and kicked Noah Igbinoghene inside because Sanristil, in addition to being their best nickel, is their best corner as well. And so now he's playing technically out of position. This is a former receiver who is very, very cerebral. You see that when he jumps some routes and has a pretty good idea of what quarterbacks are doing. Why is the arrow up? Well, in addition to him getting more comfortable on the outside and I think playing better, he's broken up a pass in 2 straight games, 3 of his last 4. He picked off his first pass against the Ravens. And it was a Johnny on the spot, let's make a play on the ball kind of interception. Didn't read anything out or jump it, but Lamar Jackson missed, targeted a throw to his big tight end. Even with a big catch radius, it was too hot and too wide. Off his palms, up into the air, and Sanristil made the play. He's always going to make that play. He's been doing it since he helped Michigan win a national championship with a pick 6 in the title game. He's a baller, and I'm a big Sanristil guy. He has been good since day one at training camp, and he continues to come on. The 24-year-old who Washington drafted in the second round at number 50 overall is a legit player.
Larry Izzo, take a bow. Special teams coordinator, right? Austin Seibert, signed in the middle of the week, gets NFC Special Teams Player of the Week when he does. There have been no disasters on kick returns, punt returns. Everything is a seamless operation to this point. And if you're good, that unit sometimes can derail you. They can be your undoing if you aren't able to spend the resources there. Those guys have been coached up, disciplined. They fly around. We've noticed this multiple times. They lay wood on those returns. They're kicking it inbounds, letting guys return it because they know they're about to lay the smacketh down like The Rock in 2000 on Monday Night Raw. They are playing hard. They're playing well for Coach Izzo.
That is your Commander's stock report on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. With you until 6:30.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.